If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 15, I'm only going to read one verse, and it's Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verses 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, or through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Amplified says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. Back in 1998, well, let me go farther back than that. When we first started The Calling in the Lost, I'm not sure what human being the Lord used to say we should start calling in the lost. We know it was His idea, but it's so far back that I'm not sure anybody remembers who He used to say we should start calling in the lost. But at that moment in time, it was Gary Carpenter, and we asked him to do it. And he was probably the most exuberant in regards to confession. David already taught it, was teaching it, along with praying in tongues, along with fasting, all of the seven that we know about. It was Gary that was, the Lord chose to do it. And the first Sunday that we were going to do it, the first Sunday it was not announced. It was announced on a Wednesday night that we were going to begin this new service every Sunday evening, Calling in the Lost. And whoever was the announcer Sunday morning never announced it. You know, now the buck stops here, so I was the one that, you know, failed or missed it, no matter who was going to announce it. And Sunday night came, and a few began to show up, and I was one of them. And Gary walked in, and it was halfway down the lobby on that side, and he walked by, and I walked by, and I was headed upstairs to do something, and I turned around and said, Gary, and I really meant what I was about to say. I'm really sorry that it was never announced this morning. And he turned around to me with about the biggest smile, almost a chuckle. And he said, Tim, that's okay. The Lord told me this afternoon it was only going to take one person to bring revival to Tulsa. So don't be at least concerned. Just one person. If he has just one, he can bring it. Naturally, that made me really feel good. That was at least 17 years ago. And revival has not come. We're still talking about it. We're still having fellowship over it. But it has not come yet. Gary had his face-to-face communication for a series of about 19 days, maybe 20 days. How many of you have already? No, I don't want to see a whole hands. His face-to-face communions with the Holy Spirit, it's out on his website. I believe there's some back in the bookstore. They're probably one of the most precious things at least in my life, it's that precious. I want to read you a couple, and then we're going to follow the instructions. I'm only going to read you paragraphs from both of them. If you're keeping notes, the first one that I want to quote from is called The God of Hope. It came forth on September the 9th, 1998. That's 17 years ago. The second one that I'm going to read from is None Diminished. And it came on 9/15, 6 days later. None Diminished. I'll read from The God of Hope first. Some of you may know this by heart, and some of you may have never heard it one time. But listen what the Lord said 17 years ago. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. If you really want to know the truth, I'm talking to myself, and you happen to be listening, you're probably almost eavesdropping as to how I feel. It's time to possess it. It's time to put up or shut up. We're family. It's time to get it done. 4 hours spent developing godly hope. 4 hours. 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confessions where there is no hope. I remind you again of the Father's plan for Abram. Which came first, hope or faith? First came the image of hope as he led Abram out to see the stars. By that method, the Father planted hope on the canvas of Abram's heart, not his brain, painted on his heart a canvas of what the Father had been talking about. Abraham now had a vision. First came the vision. First came the hope. Hope must be imparted first, son. A lively hope that is more real than the natural circumstances. More real than the empty chairs at the prayer center. More real than every hospital that is still full of all the children that we're expecting to get out. Secondly, the instruction came by the Spirit to Abram that he change his name to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. By following these instructions, faith then appropriated what was first obtained by hope. Faith is the substance of thing hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They are not seen in the natural, but they are most certainly seen in hope. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. Real simple. I mean, it has to be simple, at least for me, to fully understand. If I cannot see it, if I cannot really see it, I will not be a part of bringing the hope necessary for it to materialize. Now, 6 days later, very seldom did the Holy Spirit during Gary's fellowship at this time, did the Holy Spirit ever have to repeat something. He said it once, and evidently Gary's heart was so full and so ready to receive it that it went from his brain, through his soul, into his heart, into his born-again spirit, and it resided there, and it filled his heart. Very seldom. He only did it twice. Once had to do with fasting. We now know, and Gary's listening, we now know why the Holy Spirit probably repeated fasting more than once. But the other time is in regards to godly hope. September the 15th, 6 days later. It's amazing to me how gentle and how full of mercy and full of grace Holy Spirit speaks. It's just amazing. He asked Gary this question. Remember the word I spoke to you saying, do you remember, son? He didn't say, I told you so. He didn't say, hey, stupid. He said, remember the word. Just, did you remember the word I spoke to you saying? He could say that to all of us tonight about all the words that we've received about our life. Do you remember what I just said? Do you remember? I really want you to remember. Now, I'm not going to go into the blueprint. I may touch it. But do you remember what I said? Do you remember when I spoke to you saying, 4 hours developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope? The ratio is correct. The ratio is correct. Those numbers are accurate. I gave them not by chance unto you, says the Spirit of grace. This is the measure by which the rate of transformation shall be increased as you learn to incorporate hope with all of your speaking. He didn't say 2 + 2 = 4. He said 4 hours compared to 4 years. I don't have any idea how many hours are in 4 years, but it's a bunch. And he broke it down to hours. And don't come up to me afterwards and tell me you've calculated it, because it doesn't mean a single thing to me. What means to me is he's saying, the rate of my transformation, of every word he's given me, if I will give him 4 hours. He didn't say, I need to be careful with this. Do you remember the one thing that Dave said? He hasn't said it enough, or maybe it's only on one series of tapes that I know about. When he said, the longer you pray, the quieter you get. The longer you pray in a straight path, the quieter you get. I don't know how long it takes you to get quiet, to shut down this mind. The only way that I'm able to do it successfully, continually, is when I get up in the morning. I am not allowed to look at my computer. I'm not allowed to look at the intermail or the internet or the emails that came from either whatever, because they've been up and they're wanting answers. Now, I'm not bragging. That's just my responsibility. But if I go and open and begin to find out what Germany said and they're wanting answers, but if I put that first, for me to shut my brain down afterwards is nigh on to impossible. Because number one, I don't want to confess. I don't mind praying in the Spirit, because I can pray in the Spirit and work. Dave, when he was traveling, he would put the Bible. I mean, you've listened to all the tapes. He'd put the Bible on the television stand, and he would walk back and forth praying in the Spirit, and he'd come back and he'd read it while he was still praying in the Spirit, and then he would go back and he would meditate while he's praying. That doesn't work for me when there's decisions that have to be made. My brain's saying, okay, Lord, what about this and what about this? And he, you know, one of the things that he keeps telling me and has told me in the past is, you're always wanting to do something for me, but I'm wanting you to become someone for me. Great difference. A world of difference. I didn't know I was going here tonight, so you're just going to have to live with this. What did he say this morning? If you'll do just one thing a day that I ask you to do, it's more valuable to my kingdom. It brings me more pleasure. We have more fellowship. You feel my love more. You feel my closeness if you do just that one thing I ask you to do versus the thousand things that you want to do. Now, incidentally, the thousand things that you want to do, I'm going to co-labor with you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to let you go do them. But the level of fellowship that we're going to have is a vast difference, because they're good things. They're good things. It's 1 degree off things, I guess. It's his permissive will. That's where you all live. You're not going out to the bar. I mean, I could mention a bunch of things. But he's wanting your perfect, he's wanting his perfect will through you, not his permissive will. And that's where we are as a prayer center. That's where each one of you are, just not me. I'm not throwing stones, because every one of you could throw a stone back at me. But what he's wanting is to do the one thing. Remember the word I spoke to you, saying 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. The ratio is correct. These numbers are accurate. I gave them not by chance unto you, says the Spirit of grace. This is the measure by which the rate of transformation shall be increased as you learn to incorporate hope with all of your speaking. I am able to do a quick work in those whose hope stands as an image in full measure for faith to give substance to. Learn to incorporate hope, godly hope, with all of your speaking. Forget not the course that he has set for you, my son. This is personal. This was to him personal. But you can apply it to your gifting. You can apply it because you're part of the same body. It's the same principle. It's the same standard. Forget not the course that he has set for you, my son. Incorporate hope with your speaking regarding the gifts of the Spirit. You shall arrive at that clearing more rapidly than you ever thought. Let hope and faith join together that I may manifest the life of Christ in you. From glory to glory, you shall be changed into the same image, incorporating hope with all of your saying, says the Spirit of grace. That's to all of us. That's to all of us. That's only several paragraphs out of both of those face to face. I would highly recommend, every one of you have computers. None of you don't. And if you don't have one, you know someone that does. Beg, borrow, get on your knees, and tell them to print out both of these documents and begin to read them. the exercise that we're going to do tonight, and we'll be through very quickly, well, maybe quickly, I want you to take the prayer center confessions that I passed out, and I'd like you to first maybe close your eyes, and maybe you won't have to close your eyes. And I want you to look inside your heart as to what you feel as though your call is. Or what I could say your job responsibility is within the body of Christ, within the family of the prayer center, within the revival that is coming. Once you have that, I would like you to read through these. I'd like you to pick one of them that fits your call, that fits you, the desires that are within your heart. Now, I'm going to be the first to do it. And the only reason I'm going to be the first to do it is because I had a head start. Because the calling and the lost, we normally are here an hour. The calling and the lost does not even qualify for 4 hours. I don't know how you have your personal confessions at home, and I don't know how much you spend doing them, but now there's at least a benchmark. Of 4 hours is more valuable than 4 years. Even if you spend 4 hours a week with your own confessions. But I would take this and make it part of, if you have a journal, if each one of us would take 4 hours this next week on just these, and by the time Gary gets back next Sunday, next Sunday's calling in the lost service will completely change as far as the level of anointing that is in this room if you just spend 4 hours. There's no glory in it. There's no recognition. Nobody's going to say, how many of you spent 4 hours this last week? But what has he said? It's the hidden things. It's the little, what he said this morning, the little things that you do that nobody knows. If you've not read the intercessors, all of the words that the Lord's given us about intercessors, I shudder when I read them. I live with an intercessor. How many of you know? How many of you know of the vision that I had about Leah in heaven? Nobody? Hmm. Well, I guess you get to hear it. I had a vision one time, and I was walking down heaven's road. I couldn't see it, but I knew that where I was headed was to the throne. I knew that wherever it was I was headed, that God Almighty was there in the three persons, and I was going to go see him, and he was going to give me my reward. And I was walking, the road was very wide, and I was walking very close to this side of the road, like it was maybe right over there. And the crowd that was watching me walk down. There were other people with me, but I didn't know anybody else. The other people that were with me, as far as I could see, there was no horizon. There were just people. And I looked on this side, and the road was, oh, maybe clear over to where it says Tulsa's in Revival. And the crowd was there, and I couldn't see anything but people. Deep. And I was walking close enough to hear people talking. And One individual turned to another individual and said, "There he goes. There he goes. There he goes." And I was just walking. The first time it didn't bother me. The second time, I walked, however far I walked, the other person turned, the other person said, "There he goes. There he goes. Look at him. There he goes." And the pride that entered my heart inside of heaven, I must be somebody special. I can't tell you the hate that I have for it today, but in the vision, I was God Almighty's king, his favorite, special, special, special. That happened the second time. The third time, I heard somebody speaking, and I took for granted what they were going to say. And they said, "There he goes. There he goes." And I thought that I had already filled everything with the pride that I could have, but it went up a whole nother notch, like I was untouchable, that I had never been saved, or I never needed the blood of the Lord Jesus to save me, because I was never a sinner, etc., etc. All the things that you could think of was inside this vision and inside of me, like, boy, am I somebody special? Okay. I wonder how big the crown's going to be. I don't know what all I thought, but it was pride exemplified. I came to the fourth person that was talking, and they said, "There he goes. There he goes." And the other person spoke up and said, "Who is he? Who is he?" And the other person said, "That's Leah's husband." And that's still how it is today. That's still how it is today. Okay. I didn't give you time to pick out yours, but I'm going to pick out mine, and I'm going to read one. It's the third one on the first page. I'll pick out a couple, and then I'll leave you to yourselves, and I'll let you take it home and study it. A minimum of 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week. Now, we've been saying this for at least 17 years. A minimum of 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week. We have a minimum of 500 intercessors who are holding up the message that has come to maturity. We are able to get along with each other while the Father works revival in our midst. What vision fills your heart or your mind with that statement? Thinking about none of the other statements, just that one. We have a minimum of 1,000 people being born again at the prayer center every week. Incidentally, that includes media. That includes worldwide. When that takes place, that's 52,000 people at the end of the first year. And the Lord has never said we're going to have a 1-year revival. There is no facility in Tulsa that we can nurture 52,000 children at the end of the first year. You all know the word that comes forth in regards to our responsibility for spiritual children. He has said over and over again, what mother would give birth to a child in a ghetto and leave that child in a rat-infested room? I expect you to get them born again, spirit-filled, and grow them up. That's 52,000 in 1 year. Hope? Lord, what is each one of our responsibility to those 52,000? I can look around and I can call out the teachers that are in here right now. I can take you to the building in Tulsa that is a theater building that I was driving by, and I got so mad. I still get mad. You just don't get to see me get mad. This was some years ago, and I yelled out like I yelled out this morning, freedom. But I was in the car by myself, so nobody made fun of me. And I yelled out something in regards to the world has all the money, and we don't have any. And look at what they're building. And I was pouting. I was crying. I was blaming God. Whatever you want to say I was doing it all because I was so upset. And the Holy Spirit so gently said, son, they're building that for you. They're building that for you. And he showed me a vision of the 16 theater buildings, the 16 places that they show movies. He showed me they were filled with courses on walking in the Spirit, being baptized, etc., etc., how to fast without hurting you. Every room was full of the message that has come to maturity that we teach. Every room had a couple. Every room had a teacher and a backup teacher, whether it was a man and a wife or two ladies or two men. Every single room had a teacher. And when the movie was over, they gave an altar call. Every one of them got healed. And they all wanted to come back. And when is the next showing? That's what I see. That's what I see. Now, to do that, you can't do that in a minute. You can't do that in an hour. You can maybe only do one in 15 minutes or however much the Holy Spirit wants to have a fellowship with you. The 500 intercessors. If there's ever been a fight from the enemy, I don't want to even go there. The division that the Lord warned us about. Great division. Great warfare. Good intentions. He will try to destroy and fight intercessors. I'm the head intercessor. There's only one head intercessor. And he's sitting on the throne, and he's interceding 24/7. Don't get me wrong. When I have a need in my life, she's one of the first people that I call. Put me on the list. But we're needing those intercessors. And don't tell me you're not one. I don't believe it. You have a high priest. You got the King of Kings, and he will utilize you to intercede for just this one, 500. Now, I see 500 intercessors attached through the internet worldwide that get up at 6 in the morning or 2 in the morning or 4 in the morning because we've called a prayer meeting and because we're going to go to empty a hospital or whatever we're going to do. And there is no pride, there's no secretness. We need you to take care of the enemy, and this is what we're about to do. A minimum of 500. A minimum. And that's what you've been saying for all this time. And it will be a minimum because it fills us. Let me go to one more. Then I think one more. Well, I'll go to 3. Page 2. There's 3 here that talk about angels. More than 12 legions of angels. Angels are changing the circumstances. Angels are moving back the forces of darkness. Those 3. Do you know that one angel? You know the Bible as well as I do. One angel. Through one man's prayer. One man's prayer. Killed how many? In one night. 80,000? Yeah, 80,000. If they could kill, one angel could kill 80,000. And we have 12 legions, 12 legions, changing the hearts of everyone that listens to the message that come from the prayer center. Our job is going to be easy. Because they're the ones that can shut the mouth of every demonic force. They're the ones, you know, just one angel was standing like this when one of Dave's sons had been given an overdose or whatever. And the demonic influence, really the demonic beings come to get him. And the angel did nothing but look at him. In essence, go back to hell. You don't have any business here. He's mine. Can you imagine 12 legions? It's going to do that when revival breaks out. We're not going to have to work hard. We're just going to have to be obedient. Got the picture? Okay. I'm going to try to let you just read. We won't do all the confessions. But what I would love you to do is pick out your favorite. You may have more than one favorite tonight. There was one that I was looking for. And I haven't found it yet, but it was the one that talks about when we send out an ambassador to a foreign country, that they're not going to go out as beggars. What's that? Okay. Let's find it. I'd like to talk about that one. Then I'll be still. Page 4. How many from the top are? Second one from the bottom. Therefore we say, there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all and abound with many baskets left over. We have such abundance, we can pay the way for many to come and many to go. We send them out on prosperous journeys for God with abundance in a manner fitting the servants of the Lord. We have a gentleman that has the prayer center in his heart, no longer is here in Tulsa. And he has been called to the entire continent of Africa. And it's not a hope so maybe so, I think so. He has truly been called to the entire continent. The words that he has received as part of his blueprint, that he's confessing or living and applying and preparing, told him that he, when he goes out, he will go out as an ambassador, and he will go out with abundance. He will not go out as a beggar. And it will be the prayer center that sends him. Without him knowing this confession. Without him knowing this confession. We can pay the way for many to come and many to go. That is the truth. It may not be the fact, but that's the truth. Positively, without exception. And you will be a part of it. Okay. Really, that's all that I have. I'm glad that I'm able to pass all my responsibility of this on to you. I would say again, I would love you to spend that much time by next week. I'd love to begin the habit of doing this. I don't want to wait another 17 years, and I'm not blaming anybody. I'm only saying every one of these is a promise. Gary Carpenter didn't write these. He didn't come up with a good idea and put them down. Every one of these was written by the Lord to say, this is what I would like you to say. This is what I would like you to begin to believe. In Gary's personal confessions, once again, it's part of the face-to-face where the Lord said, I'd like you to go through all your confessions, and you and I will go through them again together so that every word that is within them is what I'm saying. And I believe he made a few corrections so that there is exactly right. And so when I read the face-to-face that it's 4 hours compared to 4 years, and the Lord says, now remember, that wasn't an accident. I didn't just guess those. Your own personal words. I won't look, but do you spend 4 hours going over those personal words and develop a godly hope? Incidentally, every one of your closest friends, every one of your closest friends, believe your prophecies more than you do. If they're a true friend, because they're not having to fight against the enemy like you are. I won't look around, but those that I have read, I can look at them and say, well, what's the big deal that you don't understand that that's who you really are? You know? The trouble is, when I read my own, especially when Leah reads them, what's the big deal that you don't believe you're this? Because she doesn't have to fight. I'm getting better and so are you. What did Nathan say? Just don't stop. Just don't stop. Just don't stop. Okay? Still love me? I hope so. All right. Enjoy the rest of the evening.